So today we're looking at the great commandment. In the Gospel of Matthew, we have the three greats. Jesus is the great one, but then he calls us to the great commandment, the great compassion, and the great commission. The great commandment today, Matthew 22, love God and love who? People. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's right. Great compassion, Matthew 25, Jesus said that when we serve the least of these in our culture, those who are in need, it's the same as if we are serving who? Serving him, serving Christ himself. And then Matthew 28, and our final message in this series is the Great Commission. Matthew 28, go and make what, church? What are we to make? Yeah, disciples. Go and make disciples, not just converts, not just draw a crowd. We're not trying to just put on some performance. We're here to lift up Jesus, and we're all here to grow in him, in his word and in prayer, and grow together in Christ as the body of Christ. And so the great commandment, love God, love people. Love God with all that you have. And the word for all here, we'll read it in just a moment. We'll read the passage in just a moment. But in Matthew 22, the word all here is the word holos in the Greek. It's where we get the word whole or complete. So in other words, the great commandment, all of the Christian life is summarized in this statement, love God with everything, heart, soul, mind, and strength, with all that you have. And when I think about all, one of the things that God brought to my mind this past week is a sellout. Now, I'm not talking about a poser or a fake, a person who's a sellout. I'm talking about being sold out for Jesus. We're moving into football season. Have I said anything about that yet? Y'all with me, right? And so I got online, got to looking at Tennessee tickets, right? And of course, Sundays I'm preaching, so a lot of times on Saturdays we're not going to ball games. So I just got on just to see, right? If you could get a ticket. Well, they've already got like almost all their home games sold out, right? Sold out. What does it mean to have a sellout? Well, it means that every single seat, come on now, in the entire building has been purchased, has been paid for. Every single ticket's been sold. Every single seat in that place is occupied, or at least has someone who has a ticket who's planning to occupy that seat. And whenever there's a sellout, right? If you've ever been to Neyland Stadium when it's sold out, is there a lot of energy in that place? Come on now. A lot of energy in that place, isn't it? If you ever go to a Predators game in Nashville or a Titans game that's sold out, is there excitement there? Is there some passion there? You think about just the excitement and the passion that comes with it. You think about the profit that comes with it for the people who own the businesses or own like the Titans or the Predators. The time where they get the most profit is when it's sold out. And ultimately, that's what Jesus is telling us. We're going to read in just a moment that greatness is first just loving God with everything, being sold out to Jesus. And that means that each and every seat of my heart, my life, is totally occupied by Christ. Money, time, job, family, relationships, hobbies, all the stuff, right? Possessions, talents, experiences of life. I mean, all that stuff, all that he has given is all surrendered to him. Every single seat sold out to Jesus. And when every single seat in my heart and my life is completely surrendered to Christ, occupied by him, that's the greatest profit to the kingdom, isn't it? Now, I can be used of God. Now, God can use anybody, anytime, anywhere. He even uses folks in sin, we see in the Bible at times. I mean, he can accomplish his purpose any way he sees fit. But isn't there a whole lot more joy in life when I'm walking with Jesus? A lot more peace in my heart when I'm walking in holiness, not perfection, but a humble, tender heart before God and just desiring to honor him and all that I say and do. Sold out. So today, here's the question. Are you sold out for Jesus or to Jesus? That's what the great commandment is. Every single seat. Does he sit in every single seat of your life? He's bought us by his precious blood. So now, Jesus paid it all to him out of gratitude as we sang this morning. Oh. So am I sold out to Jesus? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Also this morning, you probably noticed we've got the cross up here. We've got a cross up here this morning. And in just a little bit, we're going to talk about ultimately, this is the greatest, grandest display of love, isn't it? So often we come to the great commandment, great commission, great compassion passages like this, and we've heard it so often. If you've been in the church very long, been saved very long, we've heard, the greatest command, love God, all I have. What does that mean? It's so easy to just kind of pass right through that statement as if, I love God with everything, man, because I'm saved. Now, what does it really mean to love God with everything? And what does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? Well, ultimately, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is the grandest display of love in the history of mankind, isn't it, church? Isn't it? It's also the greatest definition of love, description of how we are to love others. So we'll talk about that more in just a moment. Matthew 22. Let's lean in together and I'm going to grab my Bible here. Let's dive in. Matthew 22, starting in verse 34. It says, when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together and one of them, a lawyer, an expert in the law, asked him a question to test him, to try to trap Jesus. He asked him, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? What's the greatest commandment in all of the law? Pharisees, 613 laws they had summed it up to in the Old Testament. Then they added all their oral traditions on top of it. Have you ever been to a church where you had to fit the traditions of that place in order to be liked? You know what I'm saying? In order to be accepted, in order to be welcomed into that place. By the way, that is not the gospel. Can I get an amen on that today? The gospel is not about performance or appearance or what you look like or wear on the outside. It's about your heart. Come on, somebody. And that's what he gets to here. Right before this, they are interrogating Jesus, man. They're questioning him and they're trying to trap him what he's saying. First, they sent the interns. They couldn't do it. Then they sent the Sadducees, which are the liberals, and they couldn't do it. Now you got the Pharisees. These are the fundamental conservative Jews that know everything and believe everything to the hilt about the Old Testament law. And they send an expert in. What's the greatest commandment? And look what Jesus says. Verse 37. Here it is. He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with, what's that word, church? Come on. With all your heart and with all your soul and with what? All of your mind. And this is the great and the first, protos. It's the first commandment, the first in a list of things. Jesus is not a priority, he's the only priority. All the other stuff, it all centers around Jesus. What does he want for my life? It's not God and family and work in some priority order. No, it's God, period. And he tells you how everything else is to go and where to put it and what place it fits and how to use all these things he's given us for the furtherance of his kingdom. Love him with all. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets, all of pure and right religion depends upon love. Loving God and loving people. Oh, Jesus, today, help us to love you and to love others with a true and everlasting love that only you can give. Teach us to depend upon you. Father God, fill us with your Holy Spirit and pour your love out in our hearts. Oh, how we need a revival of love in this culture and society today. True love, real love. So, Father, teach us today. Jesus, it's in your powerful name we pray all these things. Amen. Amen. Here we have this Pharisee, this expert, this lawyer, expert in the Old Testament law, who comes to Jesus. He's trying to trap him. He says, what's the greatest commandment? And he's going to start this debate, right? Well, where does Jesus go? Well, he quotes here Deuteronomy 6. If you know anything about the Hebrew scriptures, which ultimately the Old Testament is the Hebrew Bible, if you will. But it's our Bible and their Bible. But they don't see, Orthodox Jews don't see Jesus as the Messiah, as the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. Whereas we do. Amen? Can I get an amen on that? He is the Messiah, the anointed one, the only one who's worthy to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so in Deuteronomy, the first five books of the law are referred to as the Torah in the Hebrew scriptures, the books of Moses that Moses penned out. And Deuteronomy is considered the weightiest of all of those books. It's quoted in the New Testament more times by Jesus than any other Old Testament book. And so it's the weightiest in the Old Testament. So, and the weightiest section of the Old Testament is the first five books, the law, the Torah. And Deuteronomy chapter 6, where he quotes here, is referred to as the Shema. The word Shema in Hebrew means hear. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall, there it is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might in the Old Testament. Jesus added mind to it here. It's interesting when he quotes it. But he goes back and refers to the Shema. Now, what's the Shema? The Shema was a daily, or is still, a daily recitation of the Jewish people. So literally when they get up in the morning and when they go to bed at night, they recite this passage, Deuteronomy 6. Verses, especially verses 4 and 5. They recite it, okay? Not only that, the services at the synagogue, right? Morning and evening services, they recite the Shema in every one of those services every time that they meet. It was also what they taught to their children. The very first thing they would teach them from the Hebrew scriptures when they learned to talk is this. It's the Shema. And not only that, Hebrew tradition, a rabbinical tradition, said that they desired to, if at all possible, actually speak the Shema before they died as their last dying words. So that's how important this is. This is the weightiest verse or verses in the weightiest book, in the weightiest section of all of the Old Testament. And so it's kind of like the stuff you learned as a kid in Sunday school, the stuff you learned in VBS growing up, if you grew up in the church, the very first thing you learn, Jesus takes these experts back to the childlike stuff. Don't you remember the very first thing you learned? And ultimately, it's all about love. It's not about all the other religious trappings and traditions that we put on top of it. It's not about appearance and performance. It's not about checking all the boxes or being the most religious person or all the ceremonialism to it. Ultimately, it's about the heart. Love God, love people. That's what the Christian life is all about. Love. Love. Do you love God? And ultimately, when the Bible tells us to love God and love others, the greatest display of love, church, isn't it the cross? It's what Jesus did for us. The Bible says that God is what? Come on now. Love. The very essence of God Himself is love. And the cross where Jesus died. I mean, ultimately, think about it. It's the greatest branding mark in the history of branding. This symbol, this icon, everything about the cross speaks love and the totality of the Christian life. You ever thought about it that way? Everything about the cross, you have that cross on your necklace, right? Or cross earrings, or maybe you got a cross tattooed on your arm or your side. I mean, you know, so many people have a cross, right? And want to keep that cross. Well, ultimately, this speaks of the entire Christian life. Think about it. Does God even exist? Well, the Bible says that no man has seen God at any time, but the Son of God came, declared himself to be God, and he manifests God to us. And so ultimately the cross, along with creation itself, is one of the greatest examples of the very existential nature of God. While the pain in our world, while the evil there, isn't that one of the big questions that especially skeptics ask? Well, if there's a good loving God, why do we have all this evil and all this pain in the world? This is what the world did to God. Hello. This is what the world does to God. The Bible says that we've fallen short of God's glory. We've gone away from His best for our life. And so ultimately, Jesus had to go to the cross because of the sin of mankind. Not only that, this is what religion devoid of grace does to people, isn't it? So why is there all this evil in the world? Because we're sinners and we've fallen away from God. That's why Jesus went to the cross, right? So, hey, why am I here? The cross speaks to that. Well, ultimately, it's to know God, to love Him. That's why He sent His Son to die. He could just left us helpless and hopeless. But He didn't. He sent His Son to die for us. Why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? Ultimately, it's to know Jesus and make Him known in this world, right? Does my life, hello, are you listening this morning? If you're listening, say amen. Stay with me today. Does my life, think about it. Does my life have any value? Well, that's a question that our society is asking today. Many in the church and in the culture are asking. You know, suicidal ideation coming out of COVID is on an exponential increase. Does my life have any value? Listen to me, this is what you're worth to God today. He thought so much of you, He killed His own Son so He could be with you and me. Is that love? But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so, does my life have any value? There it is. You're worth the death of the Son of God. That's how much God cares for you and what He thinks of your life. No matter the failures or the brokenness or the sin, that doesn't define you. This does. And so, what a beautiful picture. Also, the cross. Right? We've talked about this before, but it bears repeating here. It's the picture of the Christian life. Jesus died for our sins. They put Him in a tomb and He rose from the dead. Who else is grateful He's not on His cross anymore? Come on, somebody. Listen, if you got a crucifix today, not trying to pick on you, but man, listen, you need to get an empty cross. Come on now, because He's not on it no more. Okay? We don't have to re-crucify Jesus. He died once for all. So when we gather and we take communion together, we are exalting a risen Savior, one who died but who is alive, who rose. But ultimately, this is the picture of the Christian life. Jesus died for us. He rose from the dead. Now, who goes on the cross now? Somebody got to go on the cross now. Who is it? It's me. It's you. Because isn't that what Jesus said? He said, if you want to follow me, deny yourself daily and take up your, come on church, your what? Your cross. So now, it just simply means we're dying to our desires and our will and coming alive to God's will. Jesus gave us that example in the Garden of Gethsemane, didn't He? What did He pray? Father, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but Your will be done. So it's the picture of the Christian life. Ultimately, we are to die daily. And it is the great commandment in total. Vertically. Only through the shed blood and resurrection power of Jesus am I made right with God. And so the Christian life is first vertical. Without the vertical, the horizontal beam can't stand. It doesn't matter how much money you have or how impressed the world is with your education or your accomplishments or all the horizontal stuff of life. Without the vertical, it can't stand. It's laying on the ground. It's of no value. You see that? And so this is what life first is all about. Without the vertical cross rooted in the ground, cemented there, The horizontal feels worthless and purposeless and just this monotonous, you know, just going through the motions, right? Life. Nothing. But also, the vertical beam feels very empty without that horizontal beam, doesn't it? The cross itself is incomplete without this. And so many people like to say, well, you know that faith thing, it's just private between me and God. And, you know, I got my own thing with God, right? Me and God, we worked it out. Now, listen to me, friend. If you're unwilling to love your neighbor as yourself, and to express that love to this world through your job, through your family, through relationships, through the stuff of life, then this vertical beam is missing in your life. And so today, listen to me, this is what Jesus is calling us to. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And who, if you're with me, say amen. Come on, church. Amen. Who did Jesus die for? Yeah. A bunch of awesome people who are perfect. Come on now, I'm going somewhere with this. In this culture, it's so easy today, isn't it? It's so easy for Christians to get in our flesh and spend all of our time railing against the culture and sinners and all them people out there and all that stuff. Play the political card and, right, the sexual card and all this stuff and just attack people with it. And friends, listen to me. The gospel is for real. Jesus said we're all sinners and we need Jesus. He gives us a certain morality, moral standards to live by, not for our salvation, but because of it. That's where the joy is. Hey, by the way, the Bible is God's love letter to us. Love. Yes, it's His law, but it's ultimately a picture of love because we can't keep His law on our own. That's why we got the cross. That's why Jesus went and died for us. We fall short of it. But God demonstrates His, Romans 5:8, love toward us in that while we were yet what? Sinners. Christ died for us. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? Sinners. Hello. Sinners. Who are we? Now, if you know Jesus, we're saints of God. Come on, somebody. I'm not trying to devalue what God's done in your life. We're blessed and highly favored, provided for, healed, restored, redeemed. Come on now. Right? That's us, those of us who know Jesus. But friends, listen to me. We're just, it's like I heard one guy say years ago, it's quoted it. He said like this. He said, listen, witnessing, evangelism, it's just one beggar telling another beggar where to find the bread. That's it. Just one beggar telling another beggar where the bread's at. And so the point I'm making in that is, yes, as saints of God, we must never forget what it was like to be lost. And the love that God is calling us to in these days is this kind of love. It's not this prim, proper, pharisaical tradition, legalism. You got to believe exactly like I believe and agree with all my theological interpretations. And you got to wear the right clothes and say the right stuff. And no, that's not the gospel. The gospel is that. And so as we wear that cross around our neck or your earrings or a tattoo or you got it, you know, young people, maybe you got it on, you know, on the back of your phone on a sticker or something, or you got it on your water bottle you take in to go work out and all this. Okay, great. What does that mean? It means that we rest in the love of God, that we love Him with everything, that we're sold out every seat Jesus occupies, and that daily I'm calling out to God, asking Him for His help, because we need it, don't we? The only way we can love this world is with the Holy Spirit of God, with Jesus in us, pouring out that love. God, help me today to love this world and love others as You have loved me. That's what He calls us to. Love. Love. Today, do you love Jesus with everything? Are you sold out? And if so, listen to me. Is this the love that we're showing to the world? Or is it this self-serving, self-justifying, legalistic, religious junk that pushes people away? Pharisaical stuff that pushes people away from the gospel. Yes, the gospel's offensive. When you say you're a sinner and need Jesus, there's going to be folks get offended. But friends, listen, it's not our Facebook rants and our social media debates and all that stuff and arguments and political rants that's going to win anybody to Christ. Can I get an amen on that? Come on, somebody. It's Jesus. Jesus.